Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7. Let's all stand. We'll read this one verse, and then I'm going to have you take your Bibles while we're standing. Go ahead and go to two other places where we're going to read. But we'll begin here in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 7. And we're going to talk about Noah. What a remarkable man. What a remarkable man. I think sometimes we get so used to certain Bible stories, we forget just how fantastic these stories are. And what these men, by the grace and power of God, accomplished is remarkable. We'll talk about that. Noah. Verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Prepared an ark. Boy, if you haven't got this whole verse already underlined, just underline that one phrase. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He prepared an ark. Boy, three words. A little three-word summary. What did he do? He prepared an ark. You know, do you understand what... You know, it's amazing how a whole lifetime of work can be just summarized by one little thing. If we're not careful, well, he prepared an ark. He prepared an ark. All right? You're going to find out how fantastic that is, by the way. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. He prepared an ark. Don't forget that. He prepared an ark. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Boy, that's the gospel in a verse. There you go. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. It took some preparing, took some work to build this thing. This guy was busy. Now let's go back to the story in Genesis chapter 6. These other two verses in the New Testament is referring back to an event that took place in Genesis chapter 6. So let's go there. And I hope you really are mentally sharp as we're reading the Bible. I hope you're thinking about what you're looking at, what you're hearing read. I hope this isn't just black words on white paper. I hope this means something to you. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. We're heading there. We're just about there, by the way. Yeah, we are. Now, if we had the percentages, you'd be shocked. There's a remnant. There's always going to be a remnant till the rapture pulls us out. But we're almost there. We're almost there. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now let's go ahead and read down the end of the chapter. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. Okay, here's the instructions. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. Are you getting a picture of what this looks like? Some of you guys that like building, did you kind of follow that? Okay. Some of you girls that might like bacon pies, did you get that? Verse 17. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him, so did who? I hear somebody preach on this and they say, well, you know, I don't know how much of the actual building Noah done. You know, he probably hired a bunch of, it sounds like to me he did it. And it sounds like God told him to do it. I don't have any doubt his sons helped him. And maybe he did have some outside help. But let me tell you something. It fell on him to get this done. I want to put this man under the microscope for a few minutes tonight. And I want to preach on this. What it takes to build an ark. What it takes to build an ark. Or what it takes to build anything big. What it takes to build anything big. What it takes to build an ark. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these men that are in the Bible. We know that they're sinners. We know that they're flawed. We know that they needed your grace. But we also know that many of them, because of what they chose to do and the God that they chose to follow, were able to accomplish some amazing things in their life. And Lord, we don't want to just be born, live, and die, and look back at the end of our life and say, what have I really done for God? I think everyone here, Lord, the sound of my voice, there's something you want them to do. Something, Lord, maybe that you want them to build. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to lift up our eyes to, Lord, enlarge our vision, to get excited, Lord, and at the possibilities of what maybe a mighty God could use us to do. I pray that we'd be tender to your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we study the Scriptures. Because, Lord, what the Spirit speaks to us about, what the Holy Spirit tells us, Lord, is so important. I pray that you'd bless me. Please help me as I preach, God. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want, Lord, to help somebody tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. What it takes to build an ark. What it takes to build an ark. What it takes to build an ark. Well, you mean, Brother Jerry, how much wood? How many nails? How much pitch? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something else. Was it really that big of a deal? All right, here we go. I need you to get your imaginations ready, all right? Let me do the best I can to help you to understand how big of a boat this is. So I did a little figuring today. Are you with me? Now, this is a long church. If you don't believe so, you be clear on that end and realize you need to go to this end to get something, all right? This is a long church. I want you, when you walk out this evening, glance back and realize just how long this church is. Now, remember, this is a real man. This is a real event. We are in a Bible-believing church. Every single story in the Bible, no matter how fantastic it may sound or how men scoff on it, this happened, folks. This is real. And God taps a man on the shoulder one day and says, I want you to build me a very big boat. Now, I measured the church, rough measured it today, and I think I'm pretty close, but the length of this church is just a little over 150 feet. Now, get this. The ark was, now they give it in cubits, and if we figure a cubit to be 18 inches, and that's usually what they say a cubit is. They said the distance from a man's shoulder to his fingertips, and usually that's around 18 inches. That means this ark is 450 feet long. Now, wait a minute. You're Noah now. You know, it's easy to say, oh, Noah built the ark. Noah prepared an ark. Okay, you got tapped on the shoulder. I want you to build me a very big boat. How long? 450 feet. That means if you take this church, you took three of them this length and put them end to end. Now it's going to be a little over that because it's a little over 150 feet, but that will give you a rough idea. Walk down the parking lot later on, look at the length of this, flip it over three more times and say, you know what? That is a big boat. You remember Brother Charles and Pastor said, we're going to build on the front here. And how far out that way did we go? Do you remember? 50 feet? Okay. When Pastor walked up and said, we're going to build something 50 feet by 40 feet, two stories, we all said, oh my goodness, can you imagine? Well, this is going to take a lot of work. Okay, that's just 50 feet. We're talking 450 feet long. Have you got that picture? Now, I want you to, once you got three of these end to end, I want you to duplicate the entire length of that, and I want you to pick it up, and I want you to set it beside the one that's already there. Because we have it 75 feet wide. If you take two of these churches and set them side by side, you have 80 feet. So that's going to give you a ballpark. Now we've got three long. Now we've just taken and doubled them and set another one beside it. So now we've got three more long alongside it this way. Folks, this is a what? It's a big boat. That is a big boat. I mean, you might have trouble finding a pond in Greene County to go fishing in this boat. This is a very big boat. Now, you got that so far? 75 feet wide, 450 feet long. Now, it's about 45 feet tall. All right. Now, if you walk on this side of the building, because if you judge it from this side, you're not going to really get it. We've got a two-story church here. If you would take this, and again, now remember, we've got three here. We've got three here. We're going to take that whole set, and we're going to, again, double it, and we're going to set that on top of it. So now it's four stories high. All right, now it's you and three of your boys. Get busy, because I need you to build an ark. You understand how remarkable a man this Noah is? You know, after God taps him on the shoulder, explains the situation, gives him instruction, tells him what he wants to do, I think the most amazing verse is verse number 22. If God tapped me on the shoulder, told me this, gave me the dimensions, I would have a lot of questions and a lot of arguments and a lot of excuses. But you know what Noah had? He just simply says in verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Just rolled up his sleeve and said, God, if that's what you want, okay. Sitting there taking notes while he's talking. You want what? Okay. You want this? Oh, wow, that's going to be big, Lord. Yeah, and animals, two of every kind. That could be interesting. And you want me to go get these? Okay, good. All right, I can handle that. All right, Lord, I'll just take off and do it. And that's Noah. Now, we get all kinds of, Pastor Russell, I had no idea. We have no, you cannot believe the volume of mail that comes into this church. And so much of it is so important. Just we may have to get a bigger dumpster one of these days. One of these days, that dumpster will not be enough to hold 1 week's worth of junk mail that comes into this church. And you get all kinds of religious magazines and publications, but I was pretty astounded because I flipped through them. See, he never let me read these before, so I had no idea. But one of these, actually, this is amazing. I don't think anybody's ever seen this. Actually contained a full-page colored picture of Moses and the ark. Yes, an actual photograph, I think. See this actual real photograph of Noah just as he gets off the ark. So, you know, I'm looking at this photograph, and I'm looking in this guy's eye, and I have no idea what Noah looked like, and whoever painted this doesn't have any idea either. But I couldn't help but look in his eyes, and you know, just seeing a picture like that made me think, and this was a real guy. I sat there looking at this picture. I didn't read anything in the article, but I was looking at this picture, and I thought, this was a real man. He was given a really big job. And I thought to myself, what kind of a man can take on that kind of job, that kind of responsibility, that kind of a big thing? Now, folks, this wasn't just building a boat and let's see if you can do it, and gee, I hope it works out. This was, if this thing doesn't work, mankind is annihilated. This has to be done right. This was an amazing man. He was entrusted with an amazing job, was given an amazing responsibility. Now, folks, I think that God today wants to give big jobs to ordinary people. Ordinary people. But I think that there's some character traits that Noah had that we're going to have to develop in our life if we can be entrusted with this kind of responsibility. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8. And let me start where we ought to start. I'm going to give you real quickly, and boy, I'm going to have to fly through these things, but I'm going to give you six attributes, six things that Noah had, six attributes, six gifts, if you will, six character traits, if you will, that God gave him or that he developed in his life, the kind of man that it takes to build something really, really big. I want to start where we ought to start, and that's verse number 8, grace. Grace. That's where we ought to start. You know something? You're not going to accomplish anything for God except it be by his grace. This is not a sermon to glorify a man named Noah. This is a sermon to encourage a bunch of normal, common people and tell you Noah was the same thing, only he was given a special measure of grace by God to accomplish something amazing. Well, Brother Jerry, those are the Noahs, and those are the Daniels, and those are the Moses, and yes, they could. Folks, we're reminded that Elijah was a man just like we are. You see, and these men were just men. Now, don't forget about the grace of God. If you're going to do anything for God, build anything for God, and I'm talking about all of us together here. You know, I'd like to see everybody enlisted. I'd like to see every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church say, you know what? Listen, God's not going to ask us to build an ark. God's not going to, listen, that's already been done. The rainbow promises that we won't have to do that again. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't want the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to build something amazing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if it's going to be done, let me tell you something. It's going to be an act of grace. Now, I want you to think about this because I'm going to ask you an important question. I better put your thinking caps on. Let's read verse 8 and 9 together. But Noah found grace in the... Now, wait a minute. Let's back up. Let's go back to verse 5. And God, because this will make it the point even greater. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But, remember that comes right after that. Oh my goodness sakes, God looks around and he sees the wickedness of mankind. He sees how bad things are, how horrible things are. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Watch this. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Say, well, wait a minute. Brother Jerry, I know the reason why. It's found in verse number 9. Because he was a just man, perfect in his generation, and walked with God. Wrong. See, we don't understand grace. Grace is what? It's what kind of favor? What kind of favor? He was the best Christian of his day. And you know what he needed? Grace. He was perfect, the Bible says, or mature or complete in his generations. You know what that means? Comparatively to what was around him, he was the best God can find. I'm not trying to bring Noah down. I'm just telling you folks, listen to me. This was not a perfect, sinless man. And you know what God did? He looked down and saw that he was the best that this generation had to offer. He at least cared enough to try to do right. He cared enough to seek God and to walk with God. That doesn't mean he was perfect. Listen, I think we got it in our mind that folks have to be perfect before they can be used. Grace, don't forget the power of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You know, people, I've heard preachers and different people say that. Noah found grace now. Let me tell you why he found grace. Because, number one, he was a just man. Number two, what are you saying? Grace is unmerited favor. You know what that means? That means you push every good thing, every godly thing you've ever done up before God. And you know what he says? I can't use you because of those things. I can only use you because of the grace of Almighty God. I said this the other day, and I'm gonna keep saying it. You know, we got this idea that we earn favor with God. Watch me. You know, if we do enough righteous things, and I'm for you, we ought to live as pure and clean as we honestly can. But let me tell you what happens. We go down that road, God begins to bless it, and we get haughty. Well, God blessed it because I pray. God blessed it because I do this. God blessed it because I do that. God blessed it because I walk with him. God blesses me. You know why God blesses you if he blesses you? Because of his unmerited favor that he's just... Listen, watch this. Let me give this to you. All of our righteousness to God is as what? That means every good thing that I, from the depths of my soul, tried to do, the most righteous things, the most godly things, the things that make people look and go, wow, what a Christian. If I stack all them up in front of God and put them right under the throne of grace and say, there, God, bless me because of these, I might, from my view, look at a bunch of what looks like righteousness. God, from his view, looks at a pile of filthy, stinking, dirty, leprous rags. I'm giving you a great truth right now. And Brother Jerry, are you trying to discourage or tell us not to live right? No, the Bible tells us from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation that we're to try to do the best we can to live right, to do right, and we are responsible to do that. But listen to me, if God blesses you or blesses me or blesses my children, it's because of his grace. Because at the end of that day, folks, my righteousness falls so short of the righteousness of Almighty God that it's not even shouldn't even be talked about in the same sentence. Now I want to focus in on this. I'm not trying to take Noah off of a pedestal. I'm not trying to keep you from being one of our heroes. What I'm saying is I think we get in our mind, well, Brother Jerry, sure, if I was a Noah, then I could get the blessings of God. If I was a Noah, I could do this. If I was a Noah, hey, God's in the grace business. God's looking for sincerity. God's looking for somebody that's struggling and trying. God's looking for somebody that'll wake up in the morning and at least seek his face. Yeah, it's still going to take grace, but that's who he looks for. Amen. Noah had what it took. And what it takes, folks, to do anything big for God is a big, gigantic dose of the grace of Almighty God. Nothing has ever been accomplished for God by a man that was not accomplished by the grace of Almighty God. Not one thing. See, I'm not only somebody that's absolutely 100% belief in salvation is by grace. I think everything is by grace. Everything is by grace. I'll preach this message tonight by the grace of God. If it has any impact in any person's life, it'll be by the grace of God. It won't have one small smidgen of a thing to do with Jerry Ross. If anything, Brother Tom, comes from any visit we made today, it's unmerited favor. God using us despite us, not because of us. Now, I'm going to try to get you to get this down in your soul. Because here's what happened. Folks, you know, they learn I'm supposed to do right. They start doing right. God starts blessing it. And they think, God's blessing me because, well, my goodness, you know, if other people would do as good as I, they could get the blessing of God. Well, you're just putting a big target on your head. You're asking never to be used again. We better stay humble. We better stay on our knees. We better stay on our face. We better understand. God's not impressed. He's not impressed with anybody that comes riding into town. God's not, well, you are not God's gift to the world. Listen, if anything is accomplished through my life or your life, it's by grace. It's by grace. I say six things, amen. May I do three this week, three next week, amen. Now, having said that, let's look at verse number 9, because I want to talk about this kind of what kind of man it, what he was. What does it take to build an ark? Number one, it takes the grace of God. I don't care if you have all of these other things that I talk about, folks. If you think these other things is what it is going to result in, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. I don't care who you are, what talent you have. I don't care how much you walk with God, how much level of personal integrity you have. I'm telling you right now, you get to the point where you credit any of that for anything that's accomplished, you're just asking for God's blessing to go poof. Amen. Because even in the doing of right, when we do right, it's only by the grace of God. Well, that's good. I know it's not the type of teaching that's going to send you on a big ego trip, but that's our problem. We've been on too many of them. I mean, folks, good night. Something happens good and God uses you in some way. Man, get on your face and just cry out to Almighty God and say, God, thank you. What a miracle. What a miracle that you would use me. What a miracle, God. That was your grace. That was your mercy. What a miracle, God. That's you. That's not me, God. And you know what? When you get up, he'll probably use you again. Amen. Verse number 9, personal integrity. What it takes to build anything really big. I like this. He was a just man and perfect or complete in his generation or mature in his generation. Wow. I don't know if I want to go into this, but I'll just tell you this. The best Christians in this generation probably isn't much of a Christian. I'm talking about today's generation. The people we look to and go, wow, in this generation, the very best, probably compared to other generations, pretty weak. And I think that's what, I'm sorry, but I think that's probably Noah's testimony too. Again, I'm not trying to tear down a Bible hero here. I'm just telling you, you know what? In some ways, this ought to give you a little hope. If God can use somebody like this, he might be able to use Jerry Ross. He might be able to use you to do something, you know. But the man at least had some personal integrity. You know what? Just. He believed in doing right. You know what justice means? Just means choosing to do right. When he had a choice, okay, I can do wrong or right, he said, you know what? I'm going to choose to do right. Young people, did you get that? Why is that so hard? Why is that? I know why it's so hard. I know we're sinners. I know we got this carnal nature, but why is that so hard? Adults, why is that so hard? You're faced with a choice. If you do this, it's wrong. You know it's wrong. If you do this, it's right. Why is it so hard for us? Noah was a just man. You know what? He had personal integrity. That means when he could have come by money that wasn't his and nobody would ever found out about it, he still did the right thing. That means when he filled out his income tax report, he did the right thing. Amen. That means when he paid for the gas down at the gas station, he got a guy gave him $10 to. To give something big to, I think it's the little things in life. Personal integrity. Young people, school's getting ready to start. Why should Pastor Jerry ever at Blessed Hope Baptist School ever have one pace ever land on my desk where a kid has gone through and purposely cheated? Why? Why? No, I need an explanation. Why? You know what's right. You've been trained and taught how to do it right. Why is it such a gigantic struggle just to walk up and open a pace and get a score key, and if it's wrong, mark it wrong? I mean, why? Why? Well, it's no big deal, Brother Jerry. It's this, it's that, it's that. Let me tell you something. It is a big deal. You think one of these days you're going to build something big? You're going to do something big? You think that? You can't be trusted to go up and score your own pace. I've had people get frustrated and say, well, why do you even let kids score their own paces? I'm not surrendering that. I am not surrendering that. That we have a generation incapable of doing right, incapable of doing what is just to do. Why don't you just decide that this year you are going to set up, instead of some of you, as soon as we start orientation, oh, here it goes again. I know all this stuff. Well, you don't ever do it. Why don't you actually set up, listen. You know what? All of those rules, all of that orientation is all designed to make you a success. And I know people that don't like rules don't like what I'm saying right now, whether you're a kid or an adult. I know. If you don't like rules, you don't like what I'm saying now. But what's wrong with just doing right? What's wrong with having some personal integrity about you? You want the reputation of a cheater? You want the reputation of a dishonest person? You want the reputation amongst adults of somebody that can't be trusted? That's what you're going for? That don't make any sense to me. Just have personal integrity. Folks, listen to me. They're going to learn that at home. They're going to learn that. Sunday school teachers, they're going to learn it from us. Adults, they're going to learn it from us. We've got to do right. We've got to do right. Personal integrity. Number three, a constant walk with God. Your brother Jerry, do you think Noah was a super Christian? I think in his generation he was. I think comparatively to what was there, he was. Well, let me tell you something. He's just one of these guys that decided every day he's going to walk with God. Now, let me help you. Are you looking up here? Let me help you. This is an important book. This is an important book. This is more important than the Today Show. I know that's shocking some of you. It really is. More important than cartoons. More important than your PlayStation. More important than any hobby you have. More important than any radio program you want to listen to. You need to live in this book because, folks, this is Jesus Christ. This is. In the beginning was the Word. This is the closest thing you're going to ever get on this earth to hugging Jesus and being with Jesus and walking with Jesus and touching Jesus. This is it. He is the Word of God. Now, read the Bible. Pray. These are basics. I know. But I'm going to tell you something. It's what it takes to build an ark. It's what it takes to be used. It's what it takes to build something or do something big for God. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. Listen to me. I'm talking about, I don't know, because I don't know people's heart. There's no doubt in my mind, there's probably dozens of people in this room. And you know what? At one time, you read your Bible every morning, and you prayed every morning, and you know what? It has been weeks or maybe months since you've done it. Listen to me. Listen to me. There's nothing I could tell you more important tonight than to come to an old-fashioned altar. Call that out for what it is. Sin against Almighty God. And say, God, forgive me for ignoring you. Forgive me for thinking I can live my life without your power, without your word, and without prayer. Oh, God, I'm going to get back with you. Well, that's big. Constant, consistent walk with God. Look at verse number 14. Let me give you the next one. A willingness to work. A willingness to work. Watch this. Let me just give you several things if you want to just mark these real quick in your Bible. Let me give you a couple words. First two words. Make thee. He didn't say, Noah, go tell somebody to do this. He said, make thee. And then in the middle of the verse it says, shalt thou make. Make thee an ark of gopher work. Rooms shalt thou make. He's giving him a job to do. He's telling him to do something. He's telling him to work. Verse 15. Thou shalt make it. Verse 16. Thou shalt set. Into the verse. Thou shalt make it. He's telling, this is going to involve some work, son. You're going to make it this long. You're going to make it this tall. You're going to make it this wide. You're going to set windows in it. He's going to set a window in it. What's that mean? That means you're going to get your hammer and your saw and you're going to set a window in it. It means you're going to have to work. It means you're going to have to work. Verse number 19. Thou shalt bring. Verse 21. Take thou unto thee. By the way, he doesn't work and obey verse number 21. They starved to death. You got that? Listen to me. This is good stuff. Boy, this is good. This is hitting some basics for us. Listen, folks. This is hitting some basics for us. What it takes to build an ark, what it takes to build anything big. Let me tell you something. It takes the grace of Almighty God. Get on your face every day and ask God for His grace. But get up from that prayer session and have some personal integrity and have a consistent walk with God and have and develop a willingness to work. Nothing is ever built by wishing it so. Bible, Proverbs says, the slothful man desireth and has nothing. You know, wanting it and wishing it don't accomplish a thing. Work, 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 work. Okay? I'm declaring war on laziness. I'm telling you right now, folks. And I'll roll up my sleeve and I'll go at, I'm declaring war at Blessed Hope Baptist School on laziness. I'm declaring war on laziness. It makes me physically sick. It makes me physically ill to see a talented, intelligent young man or young lady sit there and piddle their life away and sit there with a rebellious heart and refuse to do and use the intellect that God's given them. It just absolutely infuriates me. I have to go outside and take a walk or I'm going to be in jail. I want it to start infuriating you parents. If we do not, I'll put myself right with everybody, if we do not raise our children to work, if we do not decide it's important ourselves to work, then you know what? We are never going to accomplish hardly anything. If you're always looking for easy street, you're not going to accomplish anything big for God. Anything big for God. You have to decide that work is not a bad word. Willingness to work. You know what? He went to the right man because verse 22, I told you this. Thus did Noah. So did he. You know what? He did it. It's summarized like that. Can you imagine? Now think about this. Let me give you the fifth word. Patience. Because we can talk about this. Patience. How long did it take him to build this thing? 120 years. We can't get folks to stick with something for 10 minutes. Well, maybe we need more breaks. I mean, the classroom periods are so long, it's just hard for them to concentrate that long. I mean, sometimes some of the in-between break time is 35, 40 minutes. And one time I looked and it's 45 minutes that they have to sit in one place and actually concentrate and do something. And we're going to turn the work of Jesus Christ over to that kind of a generation. Kiss it goodbye. Kiss it goodbye. Stop babying your children. No kid in this room likes me right now. That's all right. By the way, you'll like me in 20 years. The people you like now, you'll hate then. You know, you'll be on Oprah crying. There's a reason I'm the way I am. My daddy never told me to. I'm telling you, patience. You know, what's wrong with just finding a job and just, by the way, this, you know what we want? We want instant everything. Give me a job where I can feel good about myself. Give me a job where I can have it finished in 15 minutes. Wow. Here's God. Noah, here's a boat I want you to build. By the way, it's going to take you 120 years. Now, I added on to our house, 24 by 24, two stories high. And Brother Townsend came and helped me some. Some of the men came, a couple of men came and helped me lay some block. I wasn't too good at that, didn't know what I was doing, so I had a couple men that did. I had some men come and help me put the rafters on, because that's more than a one-man job. But can I just share something with you? Most of it I did. I was telling you, most of it I did. It took me 6-7 months. 8 months. Well, actually, we could still be counting because there's parts of it that's not done yet. My wife's still counting how long it's taking. 24 by 20. Every woman in here is shaking her head. Look at this. We got revival going on right now. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I should never have brought that up. We're going to get to it, all right? Good thing we weren't pitching the outside of the Noah's Ark. You know, I never got that one section. I'm getting under conviction. We got to move on here. Where was I? 24 by 24, two stories high. It took me about 6 months. You know, that's with power tools and everything else, you know. Now, I didn't go full time at it. You know, I did it evenings and weekends and days off. It still took me 6 months. Now, that's why, you know, you think 24 by 24, if they could have accomplished that going full time every 6 months, just, you know, are you getting a picture of this? This wasn't built overnight. Let me just share a great truth with all of us in this room. You know how to succeed and really build something really big? Get up every day, go to work on it, work as hard as you can, work as smart as you can. And you know what? At the end of the day, stop, go home, eat a nice supper with the family, spend a little time together, go to bed, good night's sleep, and get up and start where you left off. Can I share something with you? That's actually something called life. There's very few things that are really big and really, you know, that stand out in history that was built in a day. Just find something God wants you to do. Find a job around Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Sunday school teachers, just study and pray this week. Visit some of your students. Get up in your class. Pray with them. Cry with them. Teach them. Send them out the door. And you know what? Next week, do it over. How long? 120 years. After that, you can quit. 120 years. I like that. I like this idea of just this steady plotter. This guy gets up, and the boys get up every day and says, you know, he wasn't thinking, okay, three churches long, double stack. You know what he was thinking? He was thinking of the room he was working on. He was thinking of the section he was working on. He was thinking, what do I have next? What do I have to do today? You know, if you'll just do that every day of your life, you're going to find out at the end of your life, you look back, and you've built a pretty big boat. Don't get discouraged because things don't happen quickly. Understand, most important things don't. You know what? Some of you young mothers, bless your hearts, you're ready to climb up the top of the house and jump. And you're raising these little kids, and you already, right now, you're sitting there because I'm preaching all this stuff, and you think, you know what? I've already lost my kids. I've already ruined my kids. They're of the devil. You know what? I try, and I get it. I mean, look, I've lost them. There they are. They're 4 years old, and I've lost them. They don't have anything Pastor Jerry's talking about. They don't do anything Pastor Jerry's talking about. They do exactly opposite of everything in the Bible. I've tried for 4 years. You know what? Just get up tomorrow and try again. Get up the next day and try again. And get up the next day and try again. And get up the next day. You know, you don't raise a man in a day. You don't raise a man. I love this. Dr. Evans, our school president, used to say, you know what? Faithfulness is measured in decades, not months. And I don't care how hopeless or how discouraged you get up and you say, what can I do and accomplish? I think sometimes we're looking at the long road, we're looking at what's ahead, and we're looking at the bigness of the job, and we get overwhelmed. Oh, I just can't do it. You know, you can't do all of that in one day, but you can do something today that's going to add up with all the other days that's going to be something big down the road. Boy, this is good. Isn't this good? Here's Noah. I see this patient man. I don't think he looked like this, but I'm looking at this picture. I'm looking at his eyes. I see him now in this picture. There's a rainbow behind him. There's a built ark that's rested on Mount Arafat. There's these animals coming out, and there's this look of wonderful contentment in this aged, older man. You know why? Because every day for 120 years, he just got up and did what God told him to do, and did what God told him to do, and did what God told him. He'd work for a while, and then he'd preach for a while. He was a preacher of righteousness. He'd work so long, say, boys, it's about noon. Let's go down. People be heading to lunch. Let's go down to the city. Let's preach, and let's warn. And then they'd laugh and scoff. And you know what? He'd get done preaching, go back up. Let's work this afternoon. Where are we at? Hashem, where are we at? J-Path, what do we need to do next? All right, let's lift this up. Let's put this up. And they worked, listen, day in, day out, 120 years. That's why I think, you say, well, they had hired all these people and they had all of this. 120 years. If they'd have hired very many, they wouldn't have been working on 120 years. I'm sorry, but let's give credit where credit's due here. God told him to do it, and the Bible says, and he did it. By the way, you'd be surprised what four men with some work ethic and some personal integrity and a consistent walk with God and a willingness to work and some patience and the willingness to just simply obey. You'd be surprised what four men like that can accomplish in 120 years. You'd be surprised what one man like that can accomplish in 120 years. Some of you young men, I'm so proud of you. I really am. Hell, Brother Jerry, if you really knew me, you wouldn't be proud of me. I am proud of you. You know why? Because you're just a plotter. I know you got struggles. I know you're not where you want to be yet. But you know what? Every day you get up with a sincere heart. Sinful too. But sincere heart. And you say, what's the next step? What can I do? You've learned some integrity. You've learned to walk with God. You're willing to work. You've got some patience. You're learning that. Even in your youth where you struggle with, you're learning. You know what? This isn't going to be done in a day. You just keep going forward for God. Keep going. moms, they're going to surprise you. Yeah, they will. You know the one you think is going to be the Antichrist? That one's going to surprise you. Yeah, they will. Just keep after. Just keep after. Just keep doing the right thing every day consistently. You're going to have good days. You don't think Noah had a few bad days along? You think Noah didn't sometimes lay down and just say, everything I did today, I had to redo it. What? Oh, man, nothing went wrong with them boys. I mean, you don't think he had some frustration in 120 years? You guys that have worked some construction, you guys that have built some things. Everybody said, well, you added on to your house 24 by 24, two-story. And I always tell everybody, no, I added on 48 by 48, four stories, because I had to do everything twice. It doesn't look like that, but that's how much work went into it. You don't think you had some frustration? You don't think sometimes, you know what, though? Integrity driven. Get up. What's next? Why? God told me to do this. Why? God told me to build this. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to walk with God. Then I'm going to get busy doing what he told me to do. Then I'm going to go down and I'm going to preach to the people. Then I'm going to show back up and I'm going to do some more of what God told me to do. At the end of the day, I'm going to gather the children around. We're going to have a good meal. We're going to pray together. We're going to go to bed. And you know what we're going to do tomorrow? Do the same thing over. Oh, Roger, I'm sitting here and I'm a teenager. That don't sound so exciting. Man, I mean, that's life. There's got to be more something. Let me tell you something. That is a good life. No, it really is. That is a good way to live your life. Well, that don't sound very spectacular. I mean, I want to have money and I want a jet set. And I want to tell you, those people, the ones on drugs, those are the ones that are going to psychiatrists. The guy that gets up every morning, walks with God, rolls his sleeves up, gets busy and works hard doing what God told him to do, spends some time trying to win people in the process, and then works some more, gathers his family around him, prays with them, eats, enjoys their company, and gets up and does it again. That's a great life. It's a great life. What a man. What a remarkable man. And folks, by the way, that's what it takes to build something really, really big. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you'd put something in us, boy. Just put something in us, God. Give us a vision. Give us a dream. Help us just plod along down here, God. Now, we need your grace. Oh, my goodness. We have to start with grace. The best of the best of the best of us in this generation, Lord, I sometimes despair at what you must look down and see and what you have to work with. Lord, help us not to, a one of us, ever get the point that anything, where we think that anything that's ever accomplished or done through us or by us is not accomplished because of the grace of Almighty God. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your grace. Unmerited. We don't deserve it. Unmerited. And Lord, help us to do the right thing. Help us just to live our lives doing something that's meaningful, doing something that's big, doing something that's important, doing something that's eternal. Help us to work hard, Lord, so that we, Lord, can gain your confidence. Lord, help us to take on whatever responsibility you've given us and help us just do it to the best of our ability. Help us to raise a generation of young people that just have some things built down deep inside of them. And this matter of personal integrity, justice, maturity, walking with God, patience, hard work. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help a generation that seems so bent on following the world and following the fads and following all the foolishness that's out there. Lord, just give us some young men and young ladies that'll just step up and do the right thing. I bless the invitation, Lord, as we take a few minutes to consider what you've spoken to us about and what we ought to do about it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.